I think I had about three different things I was going to preach this morning, so y'all get some Gatorade, and we'll go right to it. Well, let's turn to John 8. It's hard to do a fourth on not looking at John 8. In fact, today we were probably going, if this afternoon we do what we plan on doing, we're going to cover John, we will have covered John 8, 9, and 10. But we shall see. Freedom. Freedom. No word in the English language describes more clearly why the U.S. exists and what our country stands for. 1776, when we gained independence, we're a free nation. Brave men, women, who sacrificed to bring this country into existence and have fought since to keep it free, may they not be forgotten. You know, in the reading of the scripture this morning, in Acts 17, Paul points out, and this has always been a question, and we're looking at this. Is it wrong to be patriotic? Or is it biblical to be patriotic? In verse 26 of chapter 17, Paul says, and hath made of one blood, because there's one blood, Adam's, right? Of one blood. All nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth. So that tells me, number one, that God created all nations. That's why we sang, my country, 'tis of thee. Because God created it. And hath determined the times before appointed. Huh. That's interesting. God has determined the times of that nation and the bounds of their habitation. The boundaries. That's a loaded verse. It's a loaded verse, tells us when it comes to nations what God has done. And so he has set up the borders, he has created the nations, and he has done it for all habitations. So that brings another question. Are we to have borders? Are we to protect borders? So that's a couple of questions we want to answer from Scripture. Not today. Not today. Okay? But that's some things to think about. Well, over in John chapter 8, we're going to get pretty practical today, okay? It's morning. Freedom is a wonderful thing. And I don't think there's any person that does not desire freedom. All desire that. Now, we have four basic freedoms that are given to us. We have the freedom of religion. We have the freedom of assembling. We have the freedom of speech. And we have the freedom of press. They're the four big ones. And we all desire and cherish those freedoms. And we use them every day. One, two of them, maybe all of them. They're used every single day. But those freedoms that I just mentioned cannot be fully appreciated unless you add another freedom to it. They cannot really be understood and experienced to their fullest unless you add another freedom to it. And that is the freedom of the soul that comes through Jesus Christ. There's a hymn, I think it's titled, "'Tis the Song of the Soul Set Free." Okay? That's what we're talking about. That's a freedom. That is a freedom. What good is freedom of religion if my worship is not directed to Him? What good is it? Well, you say, well, they have freedom to worship another God. Well, they do. But that don't mean a thing, does it? What is freedom of religion if we don't worship Him? What good is freedom of assembly if I forsake the assembling together of the saints? What good is that? Well, I can assemble to do other things, but what about gathering as family, worshiping the Lord? What good is freedom of speech if I never take time to express how much I love Him? What good is freedom of speech if I never mention His name? If I don't bring His name up to others? What good is the freedom of the press if I never communicate or use that to communicate Him? Today we'd have media. What good is it if I never write any books or have any books that communicate Him? Well, Jesus Christ is the great liberator. Jesus Christ is the great liberator. It is He who came to set us free, as verse 36 tells us. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you'll be free indeed. Not just free. Free indeed. Big difference. Big difference. So I want us to look at this freedom, and I want us to look at four perspectives from this freedom. Four perspectives. The first one, what is it contain? What is this freedom? What does it mean? What is the content of this freedom? When we think about this freedom in Christ, what does it consist of? Well, negatively, it is not freedom from suffering. It is not freedom from suffering. The trials that are common to all mankind do not cease to exist when one comes to Jesus Christ. So it's not freedom from suffering. Christ Himself was sinless. He was faultless. And yet He was not without pain. He was not without trials. There's no such thing as a painless Christianity. There's no such thing as a non-suffering Christianity. Christ tells us in John 16:33 that while we're in the world, we will have tribulation. We will have trials. So it's not freedom from suffering. It is not freedom from temptation. As long as you're on this earth, you're going to be tempted. The freedom that Christ offers does not exempt us from being tempted. Hebrews 4:15 tells us that Christ Himself was tempted in all points, like unto us, yet without sin. It's only when we give in to temptation that we sin. Only when, that's James's big issue. It's when we give in to temptation, that is when we sin. And that's when we lose our freedom. We then come in bondage to whatever we yield to. It is not the freedom to live as we want to. It is not the freedom to live as we want to. One of the great deceptions of our day is that for you to be free, then you must throw off all restraints If you want to truly be free, you must throw off all restraints. Obey no law. Obey no commandment. You are at liberty to live as you please. They say that's freedom. Well, that's the gospel of the humanist. That's the gospel of the progressives. That's the gospel of antinomians. That is the gospel of liberals. We're not saved by keeping the Ten Commandments, as we've been looking at the Ten Commandments on Sunday morning. We're not saved by keeping them, and we're not free in order to break them. We're not saved by keeping them. But when we are set free by the liberator, that does not mean we are free to break those commandments either. Liberty is not a license to live outside of God's law. It's not a license to live outside of God's boundaries. It is not license to live outside of God's will. That is not the liberty that Christ gives to us. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, we're very familiar with those verses. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And that is very true. But the next verse, we seem to stop at verse 9. Verse 10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath ordained that we should walk in them. You see, my freedom is that I am free to live within God's will. To live within God's will. So freedom, when we look at freedom, it's not freedom from suffering. It's not freedom from temptation. It's not freedom from doing, or freedom to do as we please. So what is it? What is this freedom? Well, positively, it is this. It is freedom from the curse. It is freedom from the curse. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 3:23 tells us, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So what is it that makes this freedom? What is it that makes this freedom from past curse, freedom from that curse, what is it that makes it possible? And it's in one word, redemption. Redemption. It means that we have been set free by the payment of a price. Freedom is not free. It costs. The freedom of this nation, it costs. Now, I don't know if you looked at some of that last night and you saw some of the World War II veterans that they talked to. It costs to keep the freedom that we have in this nation. It costs Christ for us to have the freedom of our soul. It cost him dearly. Freedom is never free. It is never free. Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. How? Redemption through his blood. Redemption through his blood. It was done on the cross by Jesus Christ as he shed his blood. We speak of those who gave the ultimate for our liberties. They gave their life. So did Christ. He died a horrible death on the cross, shed his blood, that we would be liberated from the curse, free from the curse. There's a hymn that goes like this, when the stanza, he breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me. The positive side is this. It is freedom from the curse. the curse that the law, that sin put upon this world, upon all mankind. It is freedom from that. A second thing about this freedom is it's freedom from future condemnation. It is freedom from future condemnation. Romans 8:1, there is now therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. You're free of that. You're here this morning, child of God. You are free. There is no condemnation that waits you. No condemnation. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Romans 5:9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. You're free. You're a child of God. You are free. Martin Luther said, I am free. Free at last. Free at last. And that's what the soul can sing out about, because you are. You are free. And you have been set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. So what's the character of this freedom? That's the content. Now what is the character of this freedom? Now look at verse 32. Ye shall know, now notice that, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Then look at verse 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Now when you look at verse 32 and you look at verse 36, there are two words mentioned. There are two things mentioned. Truth and Son. Truth and Son. Truth in verse 32. Son in verse 36. So you have a precept and you have a person. Precept, verse 32, truth. That of truth. Verse 36, a person. The Son, Jesus Christ. John 17:17, when Christ was praying to the Father, he said, sanctify them, set them apart through thy truth. Set them apart through thy truth. Thy word is truth. How did the human race ever get into this mess to start with? You know how they got in the mess? Do you know why people still stay in that mess today? Because they believe a lie. They believe a lie. That's how it all started. When Satan came into that garden, he told them this, that, and the other, and guess what? They believe his lie. They believe what he said. And they disbelieve what God said. So it all started with a lie when he lied to Adam and Eve, and they believed it. And there are those today who still believe the lie. They still believe the lie. So here we have Satan, who is the father of lies, by the way. Scripture calls him the father of lies. He goes into the garden. He deceives Adam and Eve. He lies to them. They follow him, and they led all of humanity into the curse, into sin, which resulted in the curse that we are free from through Jesus Christ. So the Father of truth now gives mankind a chance to be freed. He gives mankind a chance to be freed from that curse. How? Through his Son. Believing his word, which is a person. It's not just a precept, it's a person. So God gives them the opportunity for freedom. The opportunity to be free from the curse through his word, which is his Son. So it's God's word is truth, and God's Son is truth. That's why Christ says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Read John, the first chapter of John, you see it. The Word became incarnate. The truth of God became incarnate in the person of Jesus Christ. And in John 8, 32, 36, we see truth, the precept, and we see the Son, the person. And it's through Him that we can be liberated from the curse. We can be liberated from condemnation. We can be liberated from all that. Unless, as Christ tells the Pharisees here, unless your father is the father of lies. And that would be Satan. That'd be Satan. If that's the case, well, you're under condemnation. You're under condemnation. Now, third perspective, the conditions of this freedom. How can a person be set free with this freedom we've talked about? Well, note verse 33. They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Now that's the most ridiculous thing in the whole passage. How can they say, we are Abraham's seed, and we have never been in bondage to any man? Now, Israel, Abraham is the father of Israel. So Israel was Abraham's seed, just as they're claiming here as being Abraham's seed. And we have never been in bondage to any man. Well, what about Egypt? Were they in bondage to Egypt? Were they in bondage to Assyria? Were they in bondage to Babylon? Were they in bondage to the Persians? Were they in bondage to the Greeks? And were they not in bondage to the Romans as they speak? You know the problem? People don't think they're in bondage. They don't think they're in bondage to sin. They're blind. And Satan has blinded them to that fact, and he deceives them, and they are gullible, and they'll die gullible, and they'll die in condemnation because they believe a lie, and right here is their problem. And so the first thing in order to get free, to be liberated, is to acknowledge the fact that you're in bondage. Acknowledge the fact that you're in bondage. That's the first step to being liberated. But then there's a second step. And that second step is that you accept the work of Jesus Christ and you believe God the Father. That He is the only way. You believe the message of Jesus Christ. You believe the truth of God. Either you're going to believe the lie of Satan or the truth of God. Either one. You're on either path. You're one of those two paths. There ain't straddling the fence. They don't have that straddling the fence. They're lukewarm. They claim to be lukewarm. They should like to straddle the fence. And God said, Jesus Christ said, I'd rather for you to be hot or cold or lukewarm. He said, you make me vomit. And you got those that say they're Christian and they straddle the fence. And God says, you make me sick. Because He says that I just spew you out of my mouth. In other words, be what you are. If you're a child of God, act like it. If you're not a child of God, then act like it. Don't come sit in church with a big smile on your face saying everything's good and everybody looks at you and thinks you're just a great old person when we know better. But that's where you got a lot of hypocrites. Pharisees were hypocritical. Got a whole chapter of them. Be what you are. Be what you are. You're not fooling God. You're not fooling me. Might be fooling some other people. No way. Because we know. God knows. And there are those that like to ride the fence. They like to ride the fence. Luke 13:3, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. That comes with acknowledging and accepting. By the way, when's the last time you heard repentance preached in churches? You ain't heard it much. That's kind of lost. Mark 1:15 said, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's how you get that. That's how you're liberated. That's how you're liberated. But then the fourth perspective, I want you to work at verse 36. This is the completeness of this freedom. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Now, when we think about this freedom, it is eternal freedom, eternal freedom. And it is internal freedom. It is an eternal freedom that will last forever. It is an internal freedom because it does not depend on circumstances. It is a freedom in the soul. It is a freedom of the soul. It's eternal forever, and it does not depend on circumstances. Daniel in the lion's den was more free than the king of Babylon. Peter in prison was more free than Herod Agrippa, who put him there. Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail, they were more free than the jailer who incarcerated them. John on the Isle of Patmos was more free than the emperor Domitian who placed him there. John Bunyan was more free writing Pilgrim's Progress in the Bedford jail than King Charles II who put him there. The Christians who were fed to the lions in the Roman Colosseum were more free than the emperor and those who watched the blood being sacrificed to their God. The martyrs were more free than those who watched them burn at the stakes. The line in faith of our fathers. Our fathers, though in prison dark, were still in heart and conscience free. Read that again. Our fathers, though in prisons dark, were still in heart and conscience free. How rewarding would be their children if they, like them, could die for thee. That's freedom. That's true freedom. That is real freedom. Now, we enjoy the freedom that we have here, but there is a freedom much greater than the freedoms of the Constitution. And that's the freedom of the Holy Word of God. And we love those who have fought And we're so grateful for those who have fought and lost their lives and given their lives for the freedom of this country and the freedoms we do enjoy. But what about the one who gave us the true freedom? Freedom indeed, that is eternal freedom, that is internal freedom, eternal and internal. And circumstances cannot destroy it. It cannot remove it. We are free. Now that ought to be a blessing to us this morning. That ought to be a blessing to us. Hey? We are free because Jesus Christ has set us free. And if the Son shall set you free, you'll be free indeed. So, we live in bondage or we live in freedom. We live in bondage or we live in freedom. We live under a lie or we come to the truth. That's the choice. Where are you at this morning? Where are you at? Are you free indeed? Are you free indeed? I trust you all. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed. Father, we thank you this morning again for the freedoms that we have. Lord, we think about this 250th. And sometimes, somebody said, well, why are we celebrating this? Well, they need to look very deep. Because they have the freedom to do so many things that we take for granted. Lord, there are countries, nations, where people live under constant fear every day. Lord, there are places where they don't enjoy all that we have in this country. But all of us today got up to a warm house or cool house. We had our breakfast without any fear. We prepared to come to church. We hopped in our car. We came to church with no fear. We had the opportunity to come. We had the opportunity to be here. We had the opportunity to worship with no fear. We had the opportunity to hear your word. Lord, all of that. Lord, we just go on. As we go through today, Lord, we take things so much for granted. We need to stop sometime and say, how can I do this? How can I do this? And it's because of freedom. It's because of where we live. And so, Lord, that's why. And so, Lord, help us to realize, Lord, you called this nation into being. And, Lord, we know that there was a God consciousness about this. Lord, all the founding fathers were not Christians. Some were deists. Some did not believe all things in the Bible. But, Lord, the majority had a God consciousness. And we're grateful for that. And Lord, they reverenced you. They reverenced your word. And Lord, you started with that. And you blessed this nation over the years so much. So much. You've allowed this nation to produce missionaries and preachers all through the years. But Lord, we see things happening. We see that God consciousness leaving. Lord, it's like you have been pushed aside. Your word has been ignored. And Father, I'm afraid we continue that path. We know where it's going to end according to your word. Because it will be cast into hell. Lord, the country that does not acknowledge you. And Lord, we can be like Ephraim, who in verse 1 of chapter 13, it says, they died. They died. And Lord, it can happen to us as a nation. But as Christians, let us be prayer warriors. May we pray for this country. May we pray for the leaders. May we do what you have told us to do. That's what our responsibility is. Help us to be true to that. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.